Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. I'd like to welcome all of you to my show tonight. And we're just having a little trouble getting started. But this is a radio show for women who find themselves in the situation of being married to a gay man or a bisexual man. It's a hard-hitting show that discusses all the complexities. And each week, my guests and I discuss these issues that affect 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. And during the course of this broadcast, if you would like to call in any comments, our call-in number is area code 646-716-4893. Or if you don't want to go on radio, that's no problem. You can just email me at bonk@aol.com. Before I introduce my co-hostess for tonight, Suzette Hinton, I do want to make a few announcements. First of all, I was away last week on vacation, as many of you knew, and I had a wonderful reinvigorating time trying to gather my strength for the upcoming year. So I appreciate your patience and hanging in with me while I was away. But it's great to be back. It's going to be a very busy year for Straight Wives and for my Straight Wives Club. Starting with our upcoming get-together at the end of this month in Philadelphia, it's going to be a very, very interesting healing weekend. We do have women coming in from all over the world and the country, and I'm really looking forward to spending that weekend getting to know all of them and having reuniting with some of them. And just going through, you know, whatever healing needs that we have to start moving along our roads, because going through this is such an isolating experience, and you always feel like you're the only one going through this and meeting so many other women who can relate to you without you saying a single word is really helpful. So we still can always fit in more people. You know, the important thing is for you to get the support that you need. And if you are interested, please write to me at bonk@aol.com. We do have a lot of women coming, but once again, I would never deny anyone who wants to come to the weekend. So if you're thinking about it, you know, write to me and I'll give you the details. Also, I just want to remind people that if you're listening to me from the United Kingdom or from any areas near the United Kingdom, we have our UK chat on Mondays, and it's at 8:30 UK time. So if you're anywhere in the European area, I know women write to me all the time from different countries, and I try to get them into our support chat either here in the United States or the UK chat or European chat. You know, the best thing is to meet others who can understand your concerns, and I know a lot of women are really isolated. So coming to chats really helps you hook up with other women and hear what their issues are. And also on Wednesday, I have my Adult Children of Gay Fathers chat, which is really important for people who have children, who are adults or young adults, who are seeking to get support for their children. I'm sorry, just hearing some telephone interference. Okay, and so if your children are interested in that chat, you can go to my website at gayhusbands.com. And there's a tab for our children. Please read it. And then you can see what the issues are about. I'm sorry, Suzette, is that your phone? Because I'm hearing a lot of feedback with it.
Oh, okay. I don't
think. Yeah, it's getting a lot of, like, echoey things. But since I have you on the phone, I will welcome you now. It's time for my co-hostess to say hi. Suzette, welcome back to our show. Suzette is our regular co-hostess at the first Sunday of every month. And this is now September 1st, and it is the first Sunday of the month. So welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
You're one of our most inspirational speakers ever. You know, people just feel so motivated from you. And they gain a greater understanding of themselves when they listen to you. So that's why I really appreciate you joining the show tonight and every month.
Well, thank you so much.
I think it's because I need to be inspired. And also, you know, talking about being inspired, because, you know, you have your own book out now that
yes.
women can buy to be inspired. Tell people about your book.
My book is entitled The Sound of My Life, and it is my journey from losing the sound of my own voice. I really believe that a lot of people know what their voice, they haven't lost their voice, but when you lose the sound of it, then you lose your way and you forget who you are. And you defer to all the other voices around you that are telling you what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to act, or, you know, where you should be in your life. And so I had lost that sound, and so I was living my life by default. And the book talks about my journey from losing that sound to finding it again, to being able to take center stage in my life and to be able to tune in to my inner knowing, my voice, the sound of my voice, and trust in it.
I think that's so important, you know, to hear your voice, because I mean, just the way you've put it, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was in marriage to my gay husband, I had lost who I was, and I had lost my voice. And I think it's because I was just being controlled, and I didn't want to have conflicts. So it was just easier to give in rather than to sit and fight and keep my own identity. And I think that happens to so many of us who are in emotionally abusive relationships that, you know, we don't look at conflict as our way of life. So in order to avoid it, we start giving in and losing ourselves. And as you lose yourself, you do lose your voice because you're not even the same person anymore. And did you find that happening to you?
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. You know, you start, you know, you might have your own thoughts and your own feelings about things, but if somebody challenges it and gives you, you know, what they think about you, what they think you ought to be doing, what they think, you know, you should be, then even though you may, like me, defend your position vehemently, when you get back by yourself, you wrestle with what they said, and I found myself deferring to what they thought about me and telling myself, well, you know, maybe you're wrong, or maybe they're right, maybe you should stop doing this, or maybe you should think this, or maybe you should give it another chance, or maybe you should. And you find yourself saying, well, okay, and you might try it their way for a while, but you know what always would get me is you try it their way for a while, and as soon as it didn't work out, you'd be like, see, I knew it. I knew this wasn't the right thing to do.
It's easy to admit defeat, isn't it?
Yes.
I should
have listened to my own voice. I knew. Something in me knew better. But sometimes it takes us a while to really start to trust the sound of our own voice. And I think that comes with maturity, that at first you don't really know that you can trust it, because a lot of times it's different than what everybody else is saying. And so you don't know that you can trust it. Or maybe nobody told you that you could regard the sound of your voice. It's always been an objection to it. So you don't know to trust it. But as I would like to think that as we mature, we start learning that we can't trust it, that we are right. 99% of the time, we are right about what's right for us.
But you know what? I think that it's easy to lose that as you stay in a bad situation. And I see it happening all the time to women that, you know, when you're losing your self-esteem and you're losing your self-worth and losing who you are, you kind of get stripped away, you know, one layer at a time until you don't have a sense of who you are anymore. And I think that's not just with, you know, gay husbands, because if you don't fix yourself, I always tell women, you're going to be repeating the same mistakes in your, you know, future relationships, and it may not be with someone who's gay. But I always say that predators know how to find us when you're weak. You know, they
yes.
just know how to hone in on you, right?
Yeah, I call that blood in the water. I heard Tyler Perry.
That's a really good way. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I heard Tyler Perry say it. He was on the Oprah show, and he had revealed his molestation when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Oprah had revealed of being molested when she was younger. And on that show, she was like, you know, you wonder why it seems like you got a target on your back. That
uh-huh.
you get molested, and it seems like you just keep getting molested. You keep meeting somebody that always continues to molest you. Why is that? And he said, because of blood in the water. Blood in the water always attracts sharks. And that
that's
was
a really
profound.
Good way to look at it, as Tyler Perry put it. And I think that, you know, when you're vulnerable, people know it. I think we
mm-hmm.
reveal a lot of our vulnerability to predators, and
yeah.
they have a sixth sense. They just know who to go after. You know, they may hear you talking to somebody else that, you know, you just broke up with someone or you're having problems in your marriage, and that's all they have to hear. You know, that's what they're looking for. And I know that in the book that I wrote called Man Readers, A Woman's Guide to Dysfunctional Men, we were talking about that in our support chat tonight. You know, that is really a guidebook for women who have to go back out there again about how to not keep making the same mistakes. And how to, you know, check out the men who you're going with. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, as women who are in abusive, vulnerable situations, as all of the women who are part of this network are, I'm not saying it's physical abuse, but emotional abuse can be just as damaging. You know,
oh,
there
yeah.
may not be bruises on the outside, but there's certainly, you know, on the inside, which people don't always realize that. But it's just another form of abuse. But when, you know, you get out of a bad situation, if you don't fix yourself, you are going to find yourself in another bad kind of situation that could be even worse.
Oh,
do you
so
find that's true?
So true. And even Bonnie, you know, we think of vulnerability as being, you know, the woman that's just like, oh, pick me, please, oh, please love me. But men can smell desperation even to the hardcore woman that's like, you know, hey, she acts like she's got it together, she's tough, you know, she doesn't need anybody, whatever. They can sense desperation in that, too, because a lot of times
mm-hmm.
that's just a defense mechanism to protect that vulnerable part of ourselves. Because it's like we don't want anybody to think that we're easy or that they can get over on us, but still, if you haven't healed the wound, there's still that part of you that they can tap into it. But that part of it is, I want somebody to listen to me. And the first person that listens to you, you know, here you throw yourself open before you even get to know them. You fall in love with their representative or whatever they do to stimulate that part of you that needs to be validated or needs to be stroked. And you rush headlong into a relationship with somebody before you even know who they are. So there's
that
two
is so
sides
true. Let me ask you this question. I mean, I'll be honest about it, and you can be honest too. But
okay.
I know that going back to what you're just saying now, there was a time in my life that when I met my ex-husband, that's it. I'll pull it together. Anyway, I was really at a very... you have to figure out the right terminology.
Yeah.
I was really at one of the strongest points of my life. And, you know, at least I thought I was. You know, it was,
mm-hmm.
you know, I tell people my life is an open book, so I try to be honest with people. You know, I suffered for so many years with low self-esteem because of my weight issue. You know, from the time I was, you know, a teenager on. And finally, in my late 20s, you know, I had lost a lot of weight, and I was looking really good, and I had a high-powered job, and I was kind of in the public eye, and, you know, really feeling good about myself, doing great things. And the stronger I felt I was, the more I felt I needed a strong man. And I think that that's a mistake for many people. In the sense that, you know, you think somebody's strong, but a lot of times it's not strength. it's a bully factor. Have you ever found that?
Yes. And it's amazing what we think is strong or what we think is sensitive or what we think is a man taking control, you know. You know, it's so interesting what we think it looks like, only to find out that a lot of times our vantage points, our view of it needs to be changed. We need to redefine what strong is. We need to redefine what good is. You know, because even no matter how much we work on ourselves, if our definitions are still off, we're going to still attract the wrong type of person.
So as a coach, which you do, you know, a lot of coaching, you know, to help women move on in their lives, what advice would you give a woman in that situation as far as getting to know the men that they're dating?
My advice, to be honest, is get you a relationship coach or somebody who can be objective, whose opinion you regard. That can help reveal to you your blindsidedness and the tapes that you play or the tapes that get triggered when you get in relationship or you meet somebody that trips your trigger or that you're attracted to. Someone that can that you can talk with and share with that can say, well, you know what? You just met this man. And you're already having a fit that he hasn't called you back in 48 hours. You know, somebody who can kind of help you kind of stand down. Because a lot of times when you start dating, everything starts accelerating. It's like almost like whatever is not fixed in us, we're trying so hard to get validation that we're okay, that we'll rush if we think that man has the potential to give us that validation. And so we need to have a relationship coach, and we need to take our time. Take our time. I don't care how grown up and sexy we think we are. I don't care how much we wish our exes would have given us true intimacy. See a coach that can help you deal with those things that are left over so that you won't bring them vicariously into the dating relationship. You got to have
some. And I think it's inevitable that this happens, right? Because, you know, we were talking about this in our support chat tonight. We have one wonderful young lady who I'm very fond of, and she had met a guy a few weeks ago. And she's relatively new out of the marriage. She was really hurt. She married a long time, you know, has a child. You know, her husband is gay. She was really blindsided by that. He left. He has a boyfriend. And they're on good terms, you know, relatively, you know, because they have a child to raise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she decided it's her turn now. And, you know, the first guy she meets, you know, she falls for, and I understand it very well because I'm easily, I know, I fall for guys, you know, well, not anymore because I have a wonderful man. But I'm saying in the past, it was easier for me to fall fast than to fall hard, you know, because that's just my nature, you know. I just love being in love. And I guess she's very similar in that way. She fell for this guy, you know, she got involved with him physically. And I certainly don't judge that. I mean, I'm not proud of a lot of things that I did in the past. I told her, don't be hard on yourself. We all do this for validation, like you're saying, to make us feel as if we can be loved, that we're valued. And then she gets a text message from his wife that she had no clue that he had one, you know, because he said he was separated and getting divorced. You know, they don't live together. And sure enough, he was lying.
Yep, flag.
You know, she's really devastated, and I understand how hard, you know, it can hurt you. And it's only been a few weeks, but guess what? I've been in that situation where I fell for somebody hard and fast, as I call it, and it broke my heart when I found out he was lying. because I really had wrapped my feelings around this guy. He was the first guy I had feelings for in so many years, and I did fall for him fast, like she did. But, you know, once again, I think we avoid the red flags, even if we see them, or we want to believe so badly the stories that they tell us. And, you know, we're so happy we have somebody who wants us and who cares about us and who, you know, promises us a future with them, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're bleeding. And I think a lot of times we don't respect the fact that there is, I don't know anybody who has come out of loving, caring about anybody, be they gay or not, but specific to this show, there's very, I need to meet the person who could come out of a relationship with somebody who's gay. Doesn't matter how long or how short. You still have a grieving period when you have a sense of loss from anything. And I think we don't realize, or we try to say, oh, no, it's because we were weak. So, you know, I'm stronger now. I don't need to give any more attention. I don't need to give any more tears. I don't need to give any more to this person who didn't deserve me. So I'm going to get out here, and I'm going to get with somebody who does. But we do ourselves a disservice because it's not about the gay man or the gay woman. It's about honoring the fact that that relationship, whether long or short, meant something to you. And you need to honor yourself enough to give yourself time to grieve it so that you can be free and clear to recognize an available man when he shows up. Because a lot of times we think, well, this person ain't gay. But the issue was the person wasn't available. And even though I didn't attract another gay man, I kept attracting unavailable men.
I think it's so hard, you know, to do that. Did it take you a long time for that?
You know, it took me a long time up until I got a coach. When I got a relationship coach who I saw regularly and I opened up, I didn't hold anything back. We talked about things. I told her I was open about my mistakes. I was open about my mindset. I was open about different things, and I welcome hearing somebody have a healthy perspective because I realized I didn't have a healthy perspective about relationships or about myself, and I needed someone to feed me healthy. I needed to eat healthy. I needed to renew my mind with healthy. I needed to learn what was healthy and what was not. I needed to give myself time to learn to value who I am apart from and not being defined by what I came out of, to remove the residue, to wash that off of me, the residue of it. And it's very hard to do that on our own, even though we like to say we are women, hear us roar. It's very hard to wash that off ourselves. So in answer to your question, I think having a coach is essential, or having a mentor, somebody who you trust that can tell you and reflect back to you what things are healthy, what things are not. They can show you those blind spots. Do you realize this is the same mindset? Is there a similarity in this mindset that you have going into this relationship that's similar to the one that you had going into the last one? Let's look at it. Let's do a CSI investigation. Let's look at the things that you tell yourself. Let's look at the anxiety that causes you to rush into a relationship. What is it that you're trying to avoid in yourself? What is it that you're trying to heal in yourself? You need somebody that can help you to navigate that, because a lot of us, we don't see it.
I know, and that's why I think it's so important for women to, you know, understand the fact that when you jump into a relationship after a destructive marriage, you know, I know that, you know, on some level it serves a purpose to know that there's somebody out there who wants you, but is that good enough? I mean, is that all you're looking for is validation that you're a woman and that some man will want you? I mean, if that's what you're looking for, I guess you get that validation, but I think you get hurt much more than you get, you know, healed. And
yeah,
I haven't seen any women go out and, you know, I always tell women, any other recovery that AA will tell you, NA will tell you, you know, you have to give yourself a year before you're ready to date. And I used to wonder why do they, you know, many years ago, I used to wonder why do they tell people that until I understood why. Because if you're in a recovery mode, you need to first recover before you can, you know, move ahead. And if you allow yourself to be dragged back into a bad, into a bad relationship, I didn't really understand predators nearly as well as I've learned over the years since then. How many guys are out there, and like you say, waiting for the, you know, the blood and the water to go after you. And that's really what it is.
And a lot of times too, Bonnie, at least for me, you know, and you know, I know everybody has a different flavor of this. But I know after I came out of my relationship with my husband, I was starved for love, starved for it. And I didn't have anybody to tell me that, you know what, it's normal. But whatever you have been deprived of, it is normal for you to hunger for it.
Uh-huh.
And to walk me through and help me to understand, sweetie, this is a hunger. It will pass. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to hurt you. And give you some ways to work through it. But I didn't have that. So what did I do? I went to church. I laid on the altar. I begged God, God, please help me. If you don't help me, I'm going to sleep with somebody. If you don't help me, God, I'm telling you, if anybody looks my way, I swear I'm going to jump them. You better help me. You better help me. You better help me. And the interesting thing was he didn't help me the way I thought he was going to help me. I thought he was going to help by calming my hot behind down and you know, help you chill out, you know, talk a couple of scriptures, sing a couple of good old songs and be all right, hang out in church and be okay. Well, what ended up happening, because there are predators in church too, what ended up happening, somebody picked up on my sin and started showing me all the attention that I had wished my ex-husband would have shown me, that I had a wish I could have gotten. And because I was so starved for it, I just went for it hook, line, and sinker. Fortunately, this person didn't hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
It was enough to help satisfy my hunger. But on the other side of it, then it's like once my hunger was satisfied, then my eyes started opening. And I started seeing, oh, my God, you're not a good person. Oh, my God. And then you say, oh, my God, why in the world am I sleeping with him? Oh, the more I'm around him, the less I respect him. Oh, I'm starting to get to a point where I'm just like, I don't even want to hear what he's having to say. And I came to myself and realized, oh, my God, what am I doing? I'm grateful that he didn't hurt me. But I couldn't.
And that was a lucky break because, like,
it
and
was
that
a
was
very lucky break.
Is that right?
That's lucky.
Because
that's
these predators are out to get you, right?
Yeah, that's not usually what happens. Not usually what happens at all. And I started noticing that he started using the pain of my past to keep manipulating me, to keeping me hungry, to keep me there, to give him what it is he wanted from me.
Uh-huh.
Every time I would start asserting my independence and started feeling myself healing and standing on my own 2 feet and starting to see that this, you know what, even the sex ain't really that good when you peel this banana back. It's just that he's paying me attention. It ain't that the sex is that great. He's just paying me attention. And then you start saying to yourself, But then he would say, you know what, you know, your husband treated you so bad. I can't believe he he would withhold this from you. He would use the things that I had shared with him about my ex to cause me to hurt so I would keep needing him. And when I got wise to it, I said, he's manipulating too.
Mm-hmm.
He's using too. He's unavailable. But whenever I want to push for more from him, more of a commitment, more of something, he kicks my feet from underneath me with what I told him and makes me bleed so that I will stay with somebody who is less than what I want. So,
and could you talk a little bit about that too, Suzette?
Sure.
You know, when people say with people who are less than what they want, I think you just phrased that so beautifully, that, you know, we're willing to settle.
Yes.
And that's really what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down to. It comes down to that because it's almost like we tell ourselves, well, at least he ain't like my ex was. You know, at least he wants to sleep with me.
Uh-huh.
Because we haven't resolved that we are desirable yet. We
uh-huh.
still have that residue on us from that person withholding from us. Or whatever way they treated us, or whatever they said, we were there long enough for it to be absorbed into our esteem. So even if he don't work, even if he got a wife, even if he's unavailable in some way, you know, at least he wants me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
that's why I tell women, you know, you're so vulnerable.
Yeah, it causes us to stay into that relationship longer than we should until we start, the smoke starts clearing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start seeing other aspects of them that start showing us, wait a minute, this person ain't much better than what I left. Sure, they might be heterosexual, but they still have character issues and flaws that I
exactly.
couldn't live with. This isn't the right person either. And I think sometimes that's a gift because then we start seeing that there is more to us, that we start being challenged to see that we need more than just
mm-hmm.
somebody to have sex with us.
And somebody who can say some kind words to you, like, I love you. Because to
yeah.
me, those three words mean nothing if you can't back them up. And
oh,
I think because many of us
that.
Haven't
That's
heard
true.
It and many of us haven't, you know, listened to it, it's really interesting. I have a very wonderful friend that I've developed over the last year, and she's a woman in South Africa. And she's written a wonderful, wonderful book called, you know, Look Me in the Eye, which is not available yet. It will be in this country. It will be available soon through my publisher, CCB Publishing, because
mm-hmm.
once I became aware of this amazing woman, you know, through her artwork, then I started becoming aware of her amazing writing, and I was able to obtain a copy of her book. And it's about her lifetime of physical abuse and domestic
mm-hmm.
violence. And, you know, as you're reading it, you know, of course, you're saying to yourself, how can she allow this to happen to herself? How can she, you know, keep going back for more? And, I mean, even I was saying that, you know, and I'm the least judgmental when it comes to that because I do understand low self-esteem and being beaten down and how it keeps, you know, how you can become people obsessed, which she did. But, you know, she was never loved in her earlier life. And when someone came to her with words of love, and that's all they were words, not the actions that go with them. And he, you know, dazzled her with, you know, all kinds of beautiful things and taking her to beautiful places. And she really, you know, equated that with being loved. And then he would smack her till she's black and blue all over, but then
mm-hmm.
always... You know, she always felt that she was responsible for that she must have done something wrong. Because when you grow up without that kind of positive reinforcement from your family, and I tell women that when you go out with abusive men, it's not like they hit you on your first date. You know, I don't think any woman would go out with a guy on, you know, after that on their first date if he goes and smacks her in the face. You know, it builds up over a gradual point of time. These guys know how to get you in. They know how to trap you. You know, they know that you're falling in love with them. And then they start with a little push and then a bigger push. And then they promise it's never going to happen again. You know, and this is how domestic violence begins. But to me that, you know, she had such a hard time, difficult time breaking away from the cycle. And it took her many years, even in front of her children, you know, this was going on, and she saw how horribly it was affecting them, and eventually that's what made her make the move away, you know, from the relationship she was in. But I see this happening on different levels with the women that we work with, women who were either in an emotionally abusive relationship or physically abusive relationship. When someone comes along and, you know, throws you some crumbs that are, or a cookie that's better than the crumbs you were getting, you know, you're just so grateful that somebody really loves you or cares about you or wants you or desires you or wants to have sex with you, that you mistakenly think that this is, somebody is going to be good to you. But that's not necessarily the case at all, right?
That's true. And I think sometimes with we women, if the person was nice to us in the beginning, it's like chasing the first high. You know, for a drug addict, a lot of times they keep using because they're chasing that first high. And if that person has been nice to us and sweet to us and gave us whatever our currency was, whatever that thing that we needed validation in, that attention, whatever, then when they start acting different, we want that back. We want
You're
it
right.
back. And a lot of times we're trying so hard to get that back that we forget. It's almost like we lose sight of what that person did. And it more becomes, okay, but they weren't always like this. That keeps us into things much longer than we should be. But they weren't like this in the beginning. And we're chasing that what we had in the beginning. So we try to go through our checklist of, well, maybe if I do this, or okay, he says he's sorry. Okay, then maybe that potentially would give me back what I had in the beginning. He says, you know, okay, you burned the bread. Well, maybe if I get the bread right this time, I'll get back what I had in the beginning. Because what we're chasing and what we're addicted to is what they gave us in the beginning. And we're so desperate to get that back. Because if we don't get that back, then that means something's wrong with us. That might mean that we deserved it because we can't get that back.
That's so true. And I'll pursue that in a minute. I think we have a caller coming in, so let's see. Hold on a second, Suzette.
Okay.
Hi, this is Bonnie and Suzette. Are you joining us tonight? Hello? Maybe it's just somebody listening in, which is possible.
Okay.
If they don't want to talk, that's fine. That's fine. All right, but getting back to, you know, what we were saying, that I think it's so true that, you know, when you're going into a new relationship, there are so many things that we don't look at, and that women need to become aware of what they need to look for. And, you know, I always tell women, as hard as it is, you know, even if you can jump fast into a relationship like I was always guilty of, you know, in time you learn better ways to do it, like to try to check out the man first.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there are red flags that we just don't want to see.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like we're not looking for them because we're attracted to somebody or because somebody says some nice things to us. So it's easy when you're, you know, vulnerable to just fall for the lingo or fall for the look. And
yeah.
I do understand that, but at least if you check it out first You know, you have to let your brain operate in front of your, you know, heart sometimes and say that, you know, I'm going to go out with somebody. Let me check them out. And there's so many ways that you can check out people today thanks to social, you know, media, right?
It really, really, really is. And then a lot of times it's something that J.L. King said. He's the author of the book Living on the Down Low. And he was saying that the one thing that women override that is their greatest gift is their intuition. Many, many times we might not have a fact. We might not have ever caught our husband in bed with anybody. We may not have any of that, but we have an intuition that will say, that's odd. That seems a little off. And if they can give us a plausible explanation, we will abandon our intuition. Why? Because we don't want to believe that the man we love could do this to us. We don't want to believe that this person who has so much potential to give us the validation we have wanted for so long, that this person could actually do that. Surely, if we can find out what we're doing wrong, we can fix this. This can change. No. At least that was true with me. Probably no other person in the list. No other radio listener might have ever felt that way, but it was me. That was me all day and all night. All day and all night. I overrode it because I could not find anything plausible. I didn't have a fact. So it was like, if I didn't have a fact and you could argue hard and strong, then I would talk myself out of it and say, you know what, maybe that person's right. Maybe I need to stop being so suspicious. Maybe this is because I got poor self-esteem. Maybe I am wrong, you know, and cause you to
overlap. And that's the hardest part, Suzette, and I think that's the part that our women struggle with the most. They don't have hard, concrete proof. They haven't walked in and found their husbands in bed with a man. And they can make excuses for so many of their ex or their husband's excuses, like when they say, well, you know, I'm looking at porn. You know, even when you catch them, they say, okay, maybe it's true, I'm looking at porno. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with looking at porno. Anything sexual is sexual. It doesn't matter who it's with. You know, it's a sexual thing. It doesn't mean I'm gay. And, you know, I guess you're just so relieved. You're relieved to hear this. So thank God he's not gay. You know, it's like when I, you know, was told by somebody right before I got married to my, you know, gay husband that, you know, that he suspected my husband to be was bisexual or maybe gay. And I said, why would you even say such a thing like that? And, you know, he said, well, we were having a conversation and it just occurred, you know, he wasn't going into too many details. But when I approached, you know, my husband who, you know, I married a couple weeks later and I said, why would he say something like this? And he just, like, picked up the table and threw it down. How dare somebody accuse me of that? I was trying to help him. I wanted him to feel, you know, I knew he was having some sexual problems, so I just wanted him to free him up. And, you know, and he had enough time to talk about this because I called him earlier in the day and said I wanted to talk to him. So I guess he knew that, you know, I was already going to ask him. But you know what? I was just so glad to hear his denial. It just made so much sense to me, even though it didn't make much sense at all. Like, I don't know anybody else who would have reacted that way, but I wanted it to make sense. I wanted to hear, no, you must be ridiculous. How dare somebody accuse me? And I think that so many of us just don't want to have to even face something like this. And we don't understand it. I mean, and look at your situation.
I got one for you. I got one for you, Bonnie. I remember I was watching my ex on the computer, and he was looking at cop rings. Those, I'm sure the audience knows what those are. They are supposed to be a man would put on his genitalia to help him to keep an erection. And I remember I walked in on my ex, and he was just looking at all these different penises with all these different kind of cock rings. And my inner wisdom said, no, hold up. And then I walk up and I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, well, you know, I've been looking at these because I'm trying, Suzette, I know I really want to have sex with you. You're my wife and I love you. And I'm looking at these different rings because I know I need help keeping an erection, you know, because of my illness and my disease. And I'm having issues with blood flow. And so I'm trying to find anything that I can because I really, 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 I really want to have sex with you, Suzette. I do. And I'm trying to find all that I can so that I can pleasure you. And come on, look at them with me, and let's pick the right one for us.
And didn't it feel good when he said that to you?
It felt creepy, but yet there was a part of me that wanted it to be right.
Wanted to believe it, right?
So I sat there, and I looked at it, and we chose one, and he says, well, I'm ordering it. Well, long story short, it never came in the mail. It never came to mail, and it's because that wasn't what he was looking at it for.
Mm-hmm.
You
and
know?
Then he would have been forced to have to use it with you, which would have been even worse, right?
Oh, God, that would have been terrifying for him.
Like, why isn't this working now? And he would have said,
yeah,
Suzette,
like,
we got to keep looking for stuff because nothing's working.
Yeah, not even Viagra's working.
I know, but, you know, it feels so good when they come up with these, you know, excuses. And, in fact, you know, I'm not really formally announcing this for another 2 weeks till my newsletter comes out or in another, you know, 2 weeks. But, you know, our new book is out, you know, Gay Husbands Say the Darndest Things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just amazing in this book, the women who contributed to this book, you know, all the different things that when you read these things that these men tell them, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, if ever there was a book about red flags so that women can understand what these men are really saying, you know, they're going to read it in this book when they see all the accounts from all the other women. It's just incredible, you know, what they tell us, what we want to believe, even though it doesn't make any sense, like yours was telling you. And you know, just getting back to what you were saying earlier when you were saying that when you listen to these words and that people have changed and they'll do things differently, I mean, you remarried a second time to your husband, really in your heart thinking that change was possible, right?
I did. I thought change was possible. There was a part of me that wanted to believe that he would be away from me, because at the time when I broke up with him the first time and divorced him, I still didn't understand the psychology and the orientation of being gay. I still didn't understand it. So I thought, okay, when he came back in my life, it was easy for me, and it was an ego boost, to be completely honest with you, for him to say, after those years of being away from me, that he promised God if God would give him another chance, he would do right by me because I was the best thing that had ever happened to him.
Well, that's kind of logical, right? I mean,
if you're
brought up in church where God could make anything happen and mm-hmm. the church was very anti-gay, you know, they said, you know, believing like it's a choice you're making,
mm-hmm.
and he comes back to say to you, listen, I can do this. You know, with God's guidance, I don't have to be that way. Why would you
mm-hmm.
think otherwise?
Yeah, because I had not educated myself any further. All I did was run for the hills and get out because I never caught him with anybody. So I
uh-huh.
ran for the hills, you know, got out, whatever. But I never dated anybody in between. And I never educated myself. So it
Well, I don't even know if that education was available at that point. You know, when you're brought
yeah.
up in the church, you know, so many people today who come to me still have a church background, and it's not a matter of education, it's a matter of belief. And people say, well, God can do anything. you know, that even if somebody's born this way, they really want to change. Through God, they can change. And, you know, it's very hard to argue with people's religious beliefs because some of our women are very, very strong Christians, and they're brought up in that strong Christian church until they have to finally learn for themselves that it's just not changing.
And, you know, if I were to coach them now, having gone through what I've gone through, I would tell them, okay, well, then there should be no problem for you to wait. And wait and let's give it some time. Let's not rush into it. Let's wait and talk about healthy relationships. Talk about, you know, maybe we're not going to educate on gay, but let's educate on what healthy is. You know what I'm saying? Let's look at something different. Because it really, even though this is the orientation, the bigger picture is this is not healthy, and there's going to be some aspect of it, whether you catch them with somebody or not, there's going to be some aspect of it that's not healthy. So let's wait it out. Let's take our time.
Is that the advice you would have given yourself if you were in that situation today?
I would have given myself, let's take some time, because what I found to be true, Bonnie, was he could only pretend but so long. You know, he couldn't.
And I think that's such a good point.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing about it was he was not after me for the reasons I thought he was after me. He was after me because he needed PR, and he had a business idea that he knew I had a business head. And he wanted to unite with me from a business perspective because he knew I had the mind and the money to help him to do it. See what I'm saying? So his motives were not pure. He was using what he knew would get me. But he never was looking for a wife and family. He was looking for a business partner. That's what he was looking for. And so if I had a... sure, he was rushing, going to bed, rushing the sexual thing, rushing the affection, rushing it, you know. But the interesting thing was even when we had sex, he couldn't keep it up. And he said it was because of his illness. It was because of his neuromuscular degenerative disease. That's what he attributed it to. But time would have revealed other things. Time would have revealed because he was rushing not just the marriage, but rushing to get my money to help fund his idea. So taking more time and educating myself on what is healthy. What do I need out of a partner? Am I willing, having gone through being married to a gay man, even if he were, quote-unquote, changed, how would I want to spend the rest of my life with a man who was already having issues in the sexual department? I'm only setting myself up, even if he weren't gay, I'm still setting myself up with being joined in a permanent or committed situation with a man who still cannot give me what I need. So getting clear about what I needed and giving myself enough distance to get to know him and to be able to ask myself, is this person going to be able in the long run to give me what I need to be in a till death us do part marriage without feeling obligated? And those are the kind of things you don't want to ask
yourself. I think a lot of this, though, you know, you really can, you know, you can articulate this so beautifully now, you know, and once again, you've lived it and gone through it. But I think that you're so right that people really need this kind of coaching when they're going through this. They need, you know, a voice of reason to be talking to them, you know, because it's so easy to have muffled ideas in your head or, you know, to stop hearing yourself talk, like you say, losing who you are to start with all over again. And it's easy to listen to, you know, false messages being given to you by the guy. And I think that having a relationship coach is just, you know, such an invaluable thing. And that's what you do too, right?
Yeah, and to find out, it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a selfish person. It doesn't make you horrible and insensitive to say to yourself, I don't want this. You know, it's okay, even if he had not been gay. If I had made my mind up that I did not want to be with somebody who was dealing with something that heavy, it would not have made me a bad woman. It would not have made me self-serving and inconsiderate. You know, we need somebody to be able to help us to work through those negative labels that we give ourselves. It's okay to say, you know what, I don't think I can handle this. It's okay. It's okay.
Well, I think it's an amazing way to look at it. And I just want to let people know how to get in touch with you, Suzette, because, you know, you have a beautiful site about your coaching. And, of course, reading your book will really help people to find their voice again. But,
yeah,
you know, I want them to be able to see as much about you as they can. So where should they go?
They should go to www.purposeful-connections.com. And make sure to put that hyphen in there between purposeful and connections. And that will bring you to my website.
Is that because they already had the one taken without the dash when you went to go for it?
Yeah, please put the dash in, because otherwise I don't know where it'll take you. But it won't be to me.
It'll be somebody else's personal.
Yeah, it'll be somebody else's. And I'm like, oh, there's another purposeful connections out here, but it's not me. So make sure to put that hyphen in there.
Okay, I'll make sure that people do that. And once again, I really appreciate your coming to our show every month to inspire women, because you're always so inspirational. One of the things I'd like to talk about next month is that, you know, I learned a long time ago from watching a wonderful show that I used to love to watch, Ally McBeal, which is back in the 1990s. But, you know, she went to her therapist, who was played by Tracy Ullman, who was really crazy. But she did say one very good point, that everybody has to have their own song. You know, a song that, you know, and I think that that's a good thing for us both to think about when we come back next month. What song would we have that represents us? And, you know, about how we feel about life and how we feel about ourselves. So that'll be our assignment for next month's show. I also just want to give a quick shout while we're on the show to three wonderful women who are listening in tonight and who sent us greetings from Texas. One of them is Grace, who always graces our show. Whenever I need her to be here, she's always here for us. And my wordsmith, Wendy, who will be here on the show on the 22nd of September. Wendy is Wendy of Wendy's List, who always has lists for people to heal, and amazing list as it is, who can articulate every feeling of pain that we're going through. And also our friend Patty, who's also listening, and they're all having a wonderful time enjoying themselves on a week-long weekend retreat over at Grace's house. So I want to send my love to all three of you, and I miss all of you, and I'll be seeing you all in March when we have our Houston retreat. And, you know, to all of our other listeners, make sure you come call in, you know, listen in next week. We have Dr. Brian Hooper in the house. And Dr. Hooper really gives our women good advice. I don't know if you've ever heard him, Suzette, but he's an amazing man. Yeah, he's a gay therapist, and, you know, like he says to our women, you know, when they're wondering whether they should stay, shouldn't stay, he says to them, you know, what it really comes down to, and I think his advice is the best advice of all, he says, is this what you signed up for? If you didn't sign up for this, then get out of it. You know, you don't have to look for a million reasons. If this is not what you signed up for, then you don't have to stay with it. And he's really comforting to all of our women. You know, he's openly gay. He works with a lot of straight gay marriages. You know, this is now becoming more and more of a specialty for him. But, you know, he's a licensed therapist, so we're always happy to have him on our show. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll have Patsy Ray Dawson on, who's our Christian counselor also, you know, from Christian points of view. She's a little controversial, but she always has good information. And then, like I say, Wendy will be with us on the 22nd. So it won't be long before we turn around, and you'll be back here again.
How about it?
It's always a comfort to me. Inspiring me every time you're here, Suzette. So you do have a purposeful connection. The purposeful connection is that, you know, you inspire me, and that's a very big purpose. You give me strength to inspire others, so I think that's a purposeful connection, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and also people should know that you have your radio show, and that's every Sunday night on the Blog Talk Radio on this station, you know, on the Blog Talk Radio station, and it's called Purposeful Connections.
It's actually called Ordinary is the New Extraordinary.
That's right. Ordinary is the New Extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some really inspirational speakers that come on your show for that. So if you need information, you can go to purposeful-connections.com, and they can read about your shows on there, right?
They sure can.
Good. Well, Suzette, I just want to tell you I love you. Thank you so much for being our guest.
I love you, too, honey.
Thanks, Suzette, and love to all of our women who are listening and who are in the road to recovery. Keep traveling the road because it's worth it in the end. You can find happiness. Suzette, you found happiness again, right?
Yes, I have.
You have some wonderful man there. I've been looking at
wonderful
the pictures.
Wonderful man. Oh, he's a sweetheart. He's a sweetheart.
Well, so,
he makes
you know
my
what?
Heart sing.
I know. You deserve a sweetheart. You're so good. You should settle for nothing less than the best, right?
That's right. That's right. And that's for everybody out there listening as well.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but the best.
All right, sweetie, I'll be talking to you in a few weeks. And thanks again, and love to all of our listeners. Have a wonderful week, and we'll be back here again next Sunday night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Suzette. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.